For what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you choose to visit us? It has pleased you to do so. And for this we are eternally grateful. We don't take you for granted. We appreciate. We enter your word now with that same sense of awe and reverence, fully aware of our limitations, the human limitations of the mind in its fall, in its present state, to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. So we ask you to come and help. Anoint me afresh, that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, wherever they are, on to the ends of the earth. Let this word flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray as I speak that the power of the Holy Ghost be released in sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. My God, that I might do this with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, in agreement with me, said, I have this afternoon a prophetic message that is both present and future. In other words, it's something you can start doing right now, and it's also something that will be done in the days that are ahead of us. I'd like you to turn in your Bible, firstly, to John chapter 7, Jesus on the Feast of Tabernacles, in the 37th and the 38th verses. John, the 7th chapter, excellent. In the last day, I didn't hear you, that great day of the feast, this is incidentally the Feast of Tabernacles, so I bring to you a present truth prophetic word, because today is actually the last day of the feast. Actually, it was yesterday because of the Jewish Sabbath. But it spills over into Sunday because of the Christian church. Jesus stood and cried, saying, I didn't hear you. If any man thirst, if you're thirsty here, let me see your hand. Good. Let him come unto me and drink. Next verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. Now this is deliberately in parentheses, that is in brackets. John was writing this in retrospect. In other words, by the time John was writing this gospel, so many things have already happened. So he was writing it many years after this incident happened, but he was there. John was present, physically there. So he said, to help the writers in the future understand what was going on, he put it in bracket. He said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, this is an excellent example of a prophetic word. When Jesus was saying this, it was still like 2 years, 1.5 years before he would die and he would be raised again from the dead and the Holy Ghost be released upon the church on the day of Pentecost. So it is an excellent example of what we call a prophetic scripture. It was written, it was that when Jesus was saying it, that thing was not going to happen tomorrow or the next day. He was speaking prophetically of the future. Now, I come to you with the same kind of message today. Now, in our case here, we have already received the earnest of the Spirit. We've already received the first of the first fruits of the Spirit. With the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and they're recovering. The church has experienced that. However, we are at the threshold of experiencing the Spirit without measure. So I bring you this prophetic message, which is called Seeking the Spirit Without Measure. We're not seeking the Spirit with measure, we already have it. We are now going beyond that to seek the Spirit without measure. The power of the Spirit without measure is about to be released upon the church, like it was under the ministry of Jesus. The Lord Jesus was not operating the Spirit with measure. He was operating the Spirit without measure. And this same Spirit without measure is available and is about, it has not been released in our own generation, but is about to be released. And that's why we are celebrating the four blood moon tetra has just come to an end. The Feast of Tabernacles is being fulfilled as I speak. And so the Spirit without measure is about to be released upon the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. This truth is clearly, unambiguously stated. Verse 13, you know, I just want to stick with the point. It says, till we all come, I didn't hear you, into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, that Greek word there, knowledge, is epignosis. It means precise, exact, complete knowledge. And such knowledge is available. It is foolishness and humility. It is not humility, it is foolishness to say we cannot have epignosis. Now, it doesn't make us God, we don't know everything. But we know, we have a complete knowledge of the principles that Jesus lived by. It's available. I like E.W. Kenyon, I said this some months ago, I repeat it. It's compulsory reading. If I had my way, I probably will do soon. Make everybody read it. E.W. Kenyon wrote a marvelous book called The Hidden Man of the Heart. It was written in the 1930s, 40s, somewhere in there. And there's one chapter, the whole book is great, but there's one chapter, it's called Exact Knowledge. It had a tremendous impact on my life. And that's what this word knowledge, the word knowledge here is that exact knowledge. It's exact, complete, precise knowledge. So we're not beating about the bush. We're not roaming around. We're not wandering. We have exact knowledge. Doesn't mean we know everything. We don't know everything. You know, we don't know details. For example, explain all these things that are important. You know, I don't know what's going on in Mars at the moment, and I don't care. Oh, yeah. That only God knows that. I don't know what's going on in Alaska. I don't know what's going on in somebody's bedroom, you know. Right now in Tokyo in Japan. I don't know that. I'm not God. God knows that. I don't need that. Even if I knew what was going on in somebody's bedroom in Tokyo, how would that make me perfect? Not, that knowledge is not necessary for me. Now, God in his omniscience knows all of that. So,
When we say exact, complete knowledge, we're not talking of that kind of knowledge where we know everything about everybody. No, we're talking about exact, complete knowledge of the principles that Jesus lived by so that we can reproduce the same here consistently. Is it clear? So we say the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what we speak on and speak of spirit without measure. This is what God is, the purpose of God for the church. There will be, there is, and there will be a company of God's people who will inherit this stature of the fullness of Christ. It is imminent. It could start this afternoon. Or tonight. Or tomorrow. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. But certainly I am certain of one thing. We're in the time and in the season. That I am 100% certain of. Hence these prophetic messages. That is why I said it's both prophetic and present truth. In other words, it's not something that, it's something that's presently can happen now. So listen. So the spirit without measure is distinct from the spirit with measure. Spirit with measure is what we receive at Pentecost. We call Pentecost. You know what was received on the day of Pentecost, where we speak in tongues. The primary initial evidence of the incoming of the spirit with measure, without measure, excuse me, is speaking in tongues. And speaking tongues is very important because it now opens the door to the rest. In other words, it's what you do with the tongues that will not determine whether you get the spirit without measure or not. It's a tool. It's not a doctrine. God have mercy on the church. So, the spirit without measure. And it is something God is eager to give to us. However, for him to do it, there are certain conditions that we have to fulfill. We'll look at those, you know, as we go on. I want to say a few things about the characteristics of the spirit without measure. The Lord Jesus Christ exemplified in his ministry and manifested what it can do, its potentials. But even, and this will blow the minds of the religious, but it still remains a fact. Even what Jesus did was just a small sample. He didn't do everything. And that is why he said, the works that he did we will do and greater. In other words, what Jesus did was just like a kind of introduction into the spirit without measure, expecting the church to come and fill it up, do the rest. Glory be to God. Now, what does spirit without measure do? It's very simple. Well, you know, just look at the ministry of Jesus. Turn water to wine. When last did you see anybody do that? Not been done to date, as far as I know. I'm sure probably some few guys may have done it down through the years. But, you know, spirit without measure is the means by which Jesus walked on water. When last did you see anybody walk on water? Spirit without measure is what caused blind eyes to open instantly. I'm seeing a little bit of that in our time, but not much. The spirit without measure is what raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days of being buried. You know, Jesus raised different people from the dead at a 30, 60, 100-fold level. The 30-fold level was Jairus' daughter. She just died. So people could argue, maybe she didn't really die. Maybe she just fainted. Hello? You know, they came to him and said, he said, thy daughter is dead. And Jesus said, immediately they said that. You know, Jesus doesn't believe in negative confession and unbelief and doubt. He said, fear not, because he could see, you know, it's his only daughter. 12-year-old, the man was about to just do what we all do. put his hand and say, "Yeah, Lord, by me, oh," and begin to cry, you know, and all the rubbish and nonsense. And Jesus immediately shut him up and said, "Fear not, only believe." And the guy obeyed Jesus. I call it the vocabulary of silence. When you can't say anything positive, don't say anything. Just think and thank God. If you can't talk, if you know you are going to talk rubbish, don't talk. Just in your heart, just be saying, "Thank you, Jesus. God, you are in control." When he looks as if he's not in control, the child had died. Jesus goes to the house. He gets there. The religious people, they're still around. Don't let them come to your house. They will never come to your house to come and cry one nonsense cry in your house in Jesus' name. Amen. Cry nonsense cry in your house. They were already crying and carrying on. Jesus said, "What is wrong with this is Olubi's translation. What in the world's wrong with you guys? The girl is not dead, she's sleeping." They began to laugh. Told you that the crying could they come. In our language, that means that they were not sincere in their crying because they switched from crying to laughing instantly. So the grief was not real. I know two people who didn't laugh. Jairus and his wife, because it was their daughter. The other people, Ujwaelowashi. I said that again in our language. And that what that means is that Jairus and his wife didn't laugh. Because it was their daughter that died. The other people just came for outward public show. All that crying was crocodile cry, tears that had no depth in the heart. That's why they could laugh immediately. They said they laughed him to scorn. Not ordinary laugh, to scorn. It's good to read the Bible properly. Anyway, he clears them all out because of their unbelief. You know, unbelief is a spirit. It's even in the air. So I'm going to have to first use my faith to conquer your unbelief before I can now use the faith to raise the girl. So instead of wasting that faith on the unbelief, send them out. And then God, Peter, James, and John. Notice he didn't take the 12. He only took 3. The 3 who were really close to him, who could believe. You know, everybody you take some places, though. Anyway, he goes in and he says, "Daughter, I say unto thee, arise." He uses his words like a mechanic uses his screwdriver. You're talking about exact knowledge here. He wasn't trying something. He knew exactly what he was doing, and the power to raise the girl was there. It was the power of the Spirit without measure. The Bible says instantly, the girl's spirit revived and the girl woke up and he said, "Give her something to eat." That's an example of the Spirit without measure. You don't see it around today. You know why? It's not around. But it's about to be released. Amen? That's an example of the Spirit without measure. Of course, Lazarus is a very good story. Everybody knows. You know, the second person he raised from the dead, there were 3 accounts, but he raised many others that we don't know of. You know, was the widow's son in Nain. And they were carrying the coffin. That was even worse than Jairus' daughter. Jairus' daughter was not in any coffin. So that's 60-fold. Now, they already put him in that coffin. They were on the way to the cemetery. Jesus stopped them and raised the boy from the dead and handed him back to his mother. Then, fast forward to Lazarus. That's the 100-fold. Notice Jesus himself was growing. He didn't start his ministry raising Lazarus from the dead. The faith he had, after he raised Jairus' daughter, it was not difficult for him to believe to raise the son of the widow of Nain. And after raising the son of the widow of Nain, it was not difficult for him now to believe to raise Lazarus from the dead. Notice it was not the gifts of the Spirit, it was faith. That spirit without measure in operation. Lazarus buried for 4 days. The other one was even in the coffin. This one, they had passed the stage of the coffin. They had gone to the burial ground and buried the thing and closed the grave. Graveyard dead. And Jesus goes in there with confidence. Even his disciples were nervous. They said, this is not Jairus' daughter. This is not even the other one. Maybe they didn't really die. You know, and the other one was just inside the coffin. Maybe he was in a coma. He said, but this one, oh God, won't let us try it. It was Martha. She's always the one who is ambivalent. You know, hey, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Don't disgrace yourself. He doesn't even mind. He didn't even answer them. He knew exactly what he was doing. He said, roll away the stone. And then he did something. And it's something you and I must learn to do. It's another message for another day. I don't want to digress. He says, he looked up to heaven. You know why? He had a connection. The Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was not operating from the earth. He was on earth. But his authority and his power was from heaven. He was on earth, but he was seated in heavenly places. So are you. Another message for another day. When you pray, you look up to heaven. You position yourself. And then you can talk and give command about what's going on the earth. Because you are not from the earth. You are from above. Hallelujah. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. I like the Bible. It says, and he that was dead came forth. And he said, loose him and let him go. And that's hundredfold. I brought that out to illustrate what the spirit without measure can do. Of course, we have a lot of in-betweens. Lepers being healed instantly, blind people seeing, the dumb talking, the lame walking, you know, and so many examples in the scriptures. You see, the Bible says in one place that virtue went out of him and healed them all. You know, this, God forgive us, you know, all these fake miracles, God forgive me. You know, I know some of them may be real, actually, because God is merciful, number one, and the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. You know, but there's a lot of stuff that's done today that's, you know, not really the real thing. You know, for one thing, you know, observe something. I'm explaining spirit without measure, so when it's in operation, you will know it. You know, if you don't know the original, you can easily be fooled by the counterfeit. Hello? When spirit of, you know, when it's in operation, it is not subject to human conditions. Jesus did not contrive conditions. You didn't have, you know, for that thing to work. He'd be going through the marketplace. Woman with the issue of blood that we sang today. No crusade, no preaching, no microphone. Hello? And most importantly, no offering. All things we tie to the anointing, they are false. When the spirit without measure is in operation, Jesus didn't even know. Because the thing was just there. It was always with him. It was a permanent abiding anointing that was upon him. So the woman with the issue of blood just keyed into it. And virtue flowed and instantly she was healed. Just didn't even know who it was. It says, and the word turned about to see in the crowd. You know? That's an example. Then in our place, the Bible says, and virtue went out and healed them all. We have 15,000 people. There was so much power and he healed everybody. That is the spirit without measure. Now, we've had healing. We've been healing of maybe 2 or 3. Thank God. We don't despise the day of small beginnings. Amen.
But we need to change level. Hallelujah. To the spirit without measure. You see, the spirit without measure is the one that will make the world respect the church. This spirit with measure, they don't respect us anymore. Especially with our brethren that have bastardized the thing and made merchandise of it. So God is about to shift us to another level. You know, where we will have this spirit without measure. So you will turn water to wine. You won't do it every day. Mm. You still have to buy your wine for your parties. Because the next thing is that everybody will be bringing water to the church. I want to do a wedding for my daughter. Molo wine, pastor. And that would be a misuse. You just did that as a sign. You know. So, anyway. That's the spirit without measure. Those are examples of the manifestation of the spirit without measure. I'm getting ahead of myself, but incidentally, it was that same spirit without measure that was on Peter, James, and John after Pentecost. Even though Pentecost was the spirit with measure and the earnest, but because they were operating under the continuity of the borrowed anointing of the spirit without measure, that is why we see in the first 100 years of the early church a continuation of the spirit without measure. So when we read the Acts of Apostles, these people, they all got born again yesterday. They got born again, you know, within 2-3 days. You see Peter, you know, 3,000 people getting born again. You see them heal the man at the gate, beautiful. You see Peter's shadow. Even Jesus didn't do that. Jesus one, you had to touch his body or touch his garment. Peter's one was wireless transmission. The technology had moved from contact to wireless. Check it out. I'm talking about spirit without measure. There was so much power that everything within a particular radius. That's why I just use shadow to explain. Everything within a particular radius, once he just gets there, there was so much power, you get healed. No prayer. No casting out the devil. No gymnastics. You see, we need all those things when we have the spirit with measure. We're trying to struggle and to try and just make people believe and kick them, and make them push them and make them fall. When the real thing is there, you don't need to do that. There'll be so much power, they can't stand. Without anybody, no human contact, wireless transmission. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the spirit without measure. So this is what the spirit without measure can do. And this is what we're eagerly expecting in the church as I speak any minute now. Now, to go further, Jesus said, John 14 verse 12, I mentioned it, and I just want to hit this tangentially and hit it running. I preached this some years ago, but it's present truth. In other words, it's present. We're expecting the present manifestation of it now. What did Jesus mean when he said greater works? What's greater than raising the dead? Now, you have to understand it in two contexts. The majority of Jesus' miracles were physical miracles to individuals. He raised Lazarus. He raised Jairus' daughter. Even the 10,000, 15,000, it was individual people that got healed. The woman with the issue of blood was an individual. Are you listening to me? And the miracles were primarily physical. In other words, healing, deliverance, raising from the dead, cleansing lepers. And that was great. Now, what then is greater works? Greater works moves at two levels. It moves from individual to nations. Then it moves from barely physical to intellectual, environmental miracles that will impact nations. For instance, what Moses did in Egypt was environmental miracles that impacted the whole nation. It was not
It was not something that was, it wasn't a miracle for an individual. Are you listening to me? When Moses, when those plagues were coming on Egypt, the plague of the frogs, the plague of lice, you know, turning water to blood and all those things, you know, they impacted a nation, and they were not just physical miracles in the physical body of men, they were environmental miracles. Even Jesus didn't do that when he was here. He has reserved that for us. So when the Bible says we're going to do greater works, we're going to do works that are going to supersede physical miracles, intellectual miracles. I preached this the other day, the ability of the mind of Christ, where you have incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning ability, incredible artistic ability, incredible musical ability, incredible mathematical skills. We know this is not pie in the sky because there are people who have them already. The problem is that these autistic savants who have them also have a downside of being socially and emotionally upset, you know, unstable, and that's because of the sin nature. Now imagine having all of that in one person without any side effect. That's what you call miracle. Even Jesus didn't manifest that. That's why I said greater works. So we're going to see, we will see the physical miracles. Then on top of that, we're going to see the intellectual miracles and the environmental miracles. So the miracles we're going to be performing in this end time, in this fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles by the Spirit without measure, will not only impact individuals, it will impact nations. It will break nations. They haven't seen anything yet, though. They haven't seen anything yet. God is about to release the Spirit without measure upon the church that will impact, that will have physical, intellectual, environmental miracles that will impact not only individuals, but impact nations. And nations then shall come to pass that which the prophet said, verily I say unto you, to me every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow. Oh, they will bow. Hence the scripture in Psalm 102. He says, and they shall fear thy glory. Hallelujah. You know, from the east to the west. Nations. Give me Psalm 102. Quickly. Psalm 102, and I believe it's verse 15, 16, somewhere in there. Psalm 102. Thank you. Psalm 102. Very good. The heathen, give this to me in the New King James. Thank you. Good. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord. Why will they fear? Environmental miracles. And all the kings of the earth will thy glory. Why do you think they were afraid of Moses? You know, when Moses first went, they weren't afraid of him. You know, he and Ramses grew up together. Because he grew up in Pharaoh's court. He said, who is the God of the Hebrews? He said, who is your God that I should let the Hebrews go? Then Moses brought out the rod. First of all, he just did a few samples. Let the thing become a snake. They too did their own, but his snake swallowed their snake. But that didn't frighten them. Then he came the next day, then he turned water to blood. They looked at him, But they too did it. Then they duplicated every miracle. Then at a particular point, even the magicians went to Pharaoh and counseled him. He said, Oga in Nigerian means master. This is the finger of God. By the time Moses finished with them, it was Pharaoh who sent for Moses. He said, take your people and go. Not only that, they gave them all their gold and their silver. And said, please, just go. Because the nation had been impacted by the power of God, such as had never been seen. And incidentally, it's not been recorded in history since that time. But because the Bible says, not one jot or tittle of the law will pass until all be fulfilled, we are going to see all of those things in the end time. Hallelujah. Incidentally, you know, just by the way, you know, you remember God took 400 years to prepare for that time. Stirring up prayer. And we've been praying and trusting God now for 100 years since Pentecost. There's great preparation that has been made. When it is released, the world will shake. Are you listening to me? So that's what the spirit without measure is. Explaining. Now, why? I've already mentioned, I'll just hit this running. To dispel the current gross darkness and disciple the nations to close the age. That's the reason, that's the purpose of the spirit without measure. Look at Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. And let's look from verse 1. Stay in the King James, I'll tell you when to move. Arise! I didn't hear you. Shine! For thy light is come, and the what? The glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon thee. I've never said this before, I'm just saying it for the first time. It means the glory is rising. It's from inside. And it rises on the outside, and they now sit on you. Next verse. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. I've preached about this recently. I'm not going to repeat myself without all this homosexuality and all this rubbish, you know, that's being legalized. Evil is being, you know, celebrated in the earth. You know, we're not coming into that. We are inside it. We are already in gross darkness as I speak. Are you listening to me? I don't know how dark I can get. You know, Bimbo sent me the text of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech at the UN just a few days ago. It was almost prophetic. For the first time, I was in total agreement with Benjamin Netanyahu. I've always liked him, don't misunderstand me, but sometimes I felt maybe he was a little bit too, but it was a balanced speech. He offered peace to the Palestinians. He agreed to the two-state solution in accordance to Isaiah 19. Egypt, Israel, and Assyria will live in peace. You know, but he explained beautifully, there's a reason I'm talking about gross darkness, he explained beautifully the real problem. I have said this from this pulpit before, and Benjamin just has echoed what I have said. I said this as far back as 2005. Ehud Barak was the Prime Minister of Israel in 2005 when Bill Clinton was still President of America. Bill Clinton brought Yasser Arafat and Ehud Barak to Camp David. They sat down on the negotiation table. These are facts. You can go and check it. Ehud Barak offered them everything up to half of Jerusalem. And Ehud Barak knew that if he gets them, they're going to stone him. He said, but he wanted peace. So he offered everything the Palestinians wanted. Ehud Barak offered everything up to half East Jerusalem. They rejected it. You know why? They don't want peace. All they want is to get all the land and kill Israel. And the only person that's telling the truth is the Ayatollah. He has said what he wants is the complete annihilation. He said in 25 years' time, there will be no more Israel. He should go and ask Pharaoh. He should go and ask Haman. And he should ask Adolf Hitler. There is no one who has ever stood against Israel that has lived. Netanyahu in front of the whole of the United Nations. Just a few days ago, he told them, he said, Israel, 4,000 years ago, and up till now, Israel is still standing. Where is the Babylonian Empire? Where is the Persian Empire? Where is the thousand year Reich of Adolf Hitler? They are all gone. And Israel is still standing because there is a God. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob is the God behind Israel. And there is no power on earth that can eradicate Israel. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You will only self-destruct. Trust me. Then he asked them, I'm talking about gross darkness. He said a few days ago, it's less than 2-3 weeks, the Iranian deal, nuclear deal, between America, the so-called P5 or G5, or whatever they call themselves, America, England, Russia, they made a deal with Iran. And I'm not against the deal, incidentally. I'm not against it per se, you know. I think I understand the thinking behind it. And I'm going to explain something. And if President Obama happens to listen to this message, or any of the leaders, it will be the wisdom of God, by the grace of God, that they can use to help themselves in this matter. I'm not against it. And I don't think God is against it in principle. I understand Netanyahu's fears, and his fears are justified. After the deal was made, the Ayatollah Khomeini, or whatever he calls himself, I don't know, you know, I keep mixing them up. You know, I was a student in 1979, so it's that one I know, but it's the same. Incidentally, many years ago when Kenneth Hagin was preaching on this, he said it's the same monkey. That same Prince of Persia. It hasn't changed. Different actors at different times in history, but the same spirit. Anyway. So, the Ayatollah Khomeini, or Khamenei, or whatever, you know, said that he will not change his stand against America. America is still the great Satan. And in fact, the fact we have done this deals mean. Then they went on to say that Israel will no longer exist after 25 years. Now, Netanyahu said something, and I said, correct. Which nation condemned what the Ayatollah said? Not one. Nobody had the moral courage, gross darkness. Nobody had the moral courage to stand up and say, shut up! We've just done a deal. How can you be saying that you want to destroy another nation? After all we've done and all the negotiations and everything we've made, we condemn what you say. People condemn, if you criticize a homosexual, they condemn you. The whole papers will be full of it. A lion died the other day. Some American doctor went to Zambia or wherever, Zimbabwe, and shot a lion. The whole world was condemning him because he shot a lion. And somebody says he wants to destroy Israel, the bastion of civilization. Everything we owe in our civilization, is not Israel per se, but God through Israel. Even Jesus that we believe in came through Israel. And somebody said he wants to destroy Israel, and nobody could talk. They could talk when he was a lion. Can you see his gross darkness? I made up my mind. I'm not afraid. I told Pastor Boyega this last night, and Pastor Adamson and the guys who were with me, you know, I've made up my mind. I know where my bread is buttered. Do you understand?
I am totally on Israel's side. I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse them. Pray for the that you may prosper. Not only that, dearly beloved, I listened to this man. It was balanced. He offered, he even praised President Obama. He offered a helping hand. He offered a hand. He told the bride, he said, I am ready immediately to enter into talks unconditionally. And then he ran down a whole series of achievements. Thank you, Bimbo. Of what Israel has contributed to the world. Cutting edge technology. We owe the Yoruba people, we have a saying in our language which I greatly treasure. It says, Enta shure fun ti o dupe bi olosha koni lero no ni. A little tongue twister, but it's like a thief that robbed you. The world owes Israel. They should support Israel, not criticize her. Stand with her. Israel has no territorial ambitions. She doesn't want to cock anybody's land. All she just wants is peace. She has even agreed to have a Palestinian state next to her. Demilitarized, of course. They keep firing rockets and want to destroy Israel. You would destroy yourself. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob is still alive. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Give the Lord a clap offering. Now, this is for President Obama in particular, and for any other president who may be listening, or whoever can send it to them, you know. And it is this. The Iranian deal is good in principle because it is the way God deals with people. We have to give peace a chance first. It becometh us to do righteousness. He says he's not going to build it for a nuclear weapon. I want to believe him. I don't say I believe him. I say I want to believe him. The Bible says love is ever ready to believe the best. So they're doing the right thing. Let us give them a chance to prove that they will not use the thing for a nuclear weapon. We will lift the sanctions. But like Benjamin and I like to call him Bibi. That's what they call him in Israel. It's a nickname, but with reverence, he's listening. You know? So we'll be watching closely. I can't take Iran's word for it. So we have to watch closely. If they violate the sanctions or any of the agreements of the nuclear something, we must make sure the sanctions snap back instantly like we said we would. No dilly-dally. You can't sweep it under the Persian rug. It's all written there. You can get it. You can email it to people. Bimbo, I've got the message. I can't read everything. We will watch closely. If they do anything contrary, we must put the sanctions back in place and hold Iran's feet to the fire. A person who can say with his mouth, after a peace deal has been negotiated, that America, he won't change towards America. America is still the great Satan. And that he would destroy Israel, and Israel would no longer, such a person, you say he's mad. Yeah, take him seriously. Adolf Hitler too was mad. And Chamberlain made the big mistake of not taking the madman seriously. We will not repeat that mistake in history. Gross darkness. There's something wrong with the moral fabric of the nations of the earth at the moment. Our moral values are totally upside down. We are living... I used homosexuality before, but this thing about Israel is a direct example of the moral darkness, because what the Ayatollahs and what they said was totally unacceptable. And everybody should have spoken up. Like they normally do. They don't get up and condemn it and say, "What? We don't agree with what you said." But nobody spoken. And he did something dramatic that day. The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, he said silence. And he looked at everybody. The whole UN, everybody was silent. Nobody could say anything. Their conscience was condemning them. You got an ally in the church. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. As the glory of God comes and the power of God is manifested, we will defend Israel. And you can only attack Israel to your peril. Then you will know the meaning of this word. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I advise you, don't try it. End of story. God wanted me to say that. And another thing I said, it was important that I did what he did, because that man had spoken a word into the air. So the word had to be neutralized. He said, "I have an answer to Iran. You will not destroy us. We will still be here." He had to. It's because it's a spiritual thing. The man was speaking with negative spiritual power. There will be no more. So it was important that Netanyahu use a world platform to counter. We're looking at spiritual battle. Don't sit on the fence. Oh. The battle lines are drawn. Let's get back to our message. God have mercy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to close. I have a second part of myself. I'll take it up next time. Of how you can get, how to seek and get the Spirit without measure. What I've told you today is what it is and why we need it. To dispel the gross darkness, break the stubbornness. Of the hearts of the nations. That's why we're going to need environmental miracles. That's why we're going to need intellectual miracles. Next time, I will share with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "These are days you can't afford to miss church." I'll tell you how to get it. Let us pray. Talk to God. Bimbo, email that thing to everybody on our list. Every Christian needs to read that thing. As a Christian, God has already put you on Israel's side. You actually don't have a choice. "For if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The question is, are you Christ? This is going to be the litmus test in this time. Who is on the Lord's side? "If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So Israel is our brother. And we must defend her. Let us pray.
bended knees we come. With a humble heart we come.
This often is a very simple prayer. Pledge to God to seek the Spirit without measure. This Spirit without measure is not going to get the job done. It's not going to get the job done. That's obvious. It's done its job. Its job was to get us born again and give us revelation, and it's done that. But to break the nations, it's going to take the Spirit without measure. And say, God, count me in. Count me in. Count me in. When Moses came down from the mountain, he said, who is on the Lord's side? God's looking for an army that will carry the Spirit without measure and turn the world upside down, the right way up. It's upside down at the moment. Like Paul. Say, they that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. We need to turn this present darkness upside down. The world leaders are not thinking. Their minds are blinded. Can't understand how anybody can look at that kind of thing and nobody said anything. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, instructed me to seek the Spirit without measure upon my life, that I may take your glory to the nations. Break the nations, dispel this current gross darkness. I understand my mission, and I pledge anew my love and my commitment to you to do this. Give me wisdom. Give me revelation. Show me what to do. What Israel ought to do. And more importantly, how to do it. That I may inherit this spirit without measure. And help you close this age. Dispel the darkness over the nations. Break the pride of the nations and disciple the nations, every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, so that the end can come in Jesus' name. Nikatalamash tufrile lepiatos kefredeges zufridingito celebradas loprining toro mashere nukutangito frenes.
Neria Dufrini Lofrenele Gelabrara Nofrenele Zufrini Tolomangara Nofrini Nangeras Tofredeles. In Jesus' name, you be seated for a minute. We're going to finish and pray now for our healing. Thank God for the ministration of the choir. In fact, without it alone, you're already healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And something I must say. I've moved another realm. I really didn't expect all of this today, but I know it's the Lord. He said, the tribulation of the church, one of the characteristics that marks is that we'll be hated of all nations. Expect it. It's no one last long. It'll be for a while. So you'll be hated for all nations for my names. What President Obama and the other group of guys are doing is good. They want to give it like God did with, I didn't finish that during the message, in Egypt. See, God sent Moses to Pharaoh and said, tell him you should let my people go. Now God said, I know he won't let you go. But we must be seen to fulfill all righteousness. So let's go the way of peace first. God didn't start with you know, the same. I want President Obama to know this. You're doing the right thing. Now, given their utterances and their body language, they may not fulfill it. We must have our big stick. And I know you do. I know Israel does. You can be sure you'll be backed by our prayers. 100%. But it's the right way. This is the way of righteousness. God said, go to Pharaoh in peace. Go to him and tell him, let my people go. If Pharaoh had let them go, end of story. No, let them go. And notice the stick didn't all come at once. It was progressive. That's God's righteousness. Exactly. Loving kindness. Righteousness and then justice. And a little bit. Then I will let them go. Yeah, okay. No, I'm not going to let them go. A bigger stick. Until at last, what God has said at the beginning. He said, Israel is my firstborn. I hope they are listening. If you kill my firstborn, I will kill your firstborn. It was not by the might of human hand. Go and ask Nabal. I preached about him the other day. We're dealing with God here. And the Egyptians woke up, and in every house, there was a cry throughout the land. May that not happen to you. It's not our prayer. It's not what we wish for. But don't try it. Don't push God. Let Israel live in peace. And you will live in peace. Israel, Egypt, and Assyria. The three of them in peace. Then there will be a blessing for everybody. He is not only the God of Israel. He is the God of the Egyptians. He is also the God of Assyria. He is the God of the Arabs. He is the God of the Palestinians. It's in the book. He loves all of you. Don't push Israel. May we learn from history. Stand to your feet. Put your hand on your heart, on your body. Raise your other hand to God. We'll just make it brief. Just say, Father, I confess our sins, so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. I am healed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I release healing life, medicine to all my body, into my heart, my kidney, my liver, all my blood vessels, into every cell, into the DNA of every cell in my body to operate error-free. Error-free. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, legally, and by the resurrection life and power, vitally, in Jesus' name, amen. Nekatofrede. And don't play games. Pray properly in tongues. And release power. Jeketo fredega tolomasha. Nimbriketo fred. Zofrelele nektola. Nofredigash. Lopreka tulomashangi. Zefi romangara. Tolomankosh tofridia. Nangara. Lopredish. Zofridia. Mombreka tolomatofre. Zofrede. Lombreda toske fridis. Zofredengaras. Lembrida Tongiash Jokaro Risofri Lombrigatolo Nombridi Limitoro Jekatari Zef.
Figo, Lombroga Tolomosofre, Lombrigi Tori, Tolomashaya, Yaka, Rambraga Tolomosofre, Lombroga Tolomotoria, Lombroga Motosco, Lombroga Matolomano, Romatolo, Lombroga, Lombroga Mastra, Lombroga Masoko, Romatolomostofre, Lombroga Matolo, Zerfi, Lombroga Matolomostofre de Freshe, Lombroga Tolomotolomangara, Lombre Tolomoshay. Yikato Fredeles, Nifridias, Nangradalas, Zofridilis, Nefredes, Nofredeles, Nongiras, Nofredeles, Nufridis, Zofredeles, Nufridiles, Nufridelas, Nufridis, Gelas, Nufridis. In Jesus' name.